This is From the Studio. I'm joined today by folks from an upcoming concert at St. John's Cathedral. In the room with me is Logan Chevalier. Welcome, Logan. Quickly tell me what this concert is.
Yeah, so the concert's called Sing to the Lord, and it's a gathering of church choirs, local church choirs, to perform Vivaldi's Gloria, which is a sort of a 30-minute Baroque masterpiece, as it were, a setting of the Gloria text that is often sung in church. And it's an idea that I had to bring together church choirs. I wanted to do it with my church choir, but we're not the largest choir in the world, so we thought we would make a project of it and invite other choirs to join. And we have four choirs coming to sing the work together this Sunday.
Great. Well, we have a first musical selection to give a sort of preview of the concert. So we'll go to our studio and Andrea Olson performing alongside Christian Skok on the piano. Christian Skok, along with Dr. Andrea Olson as our soloist. Andrea is joining us in the room. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having us, Henry.
Tell me, what was that piece we just heard?
Yes. So that was the Miserere, Quisedes, ad dexteram patris. And it's the ninth movement of this multi-movement work that we're going to be doing on Sunday.
So I was just talking with Logan about this concert overall and how it seems to be such a collaboration between organizations. Can you speak to that?
Yeah. We invited several local area church choirs and directors, really, that sort of, you know, we have networked with or that we have known personally, you know, within the collegial choral singing world. And decided, you know, hey, let's do this ecumenical concert and do a large work, which Logan has a passion for the Vivaldi Gloria as a work, and then give an opportunity to each of those choirs to perform some music that is from their, maybe more representative of their church tradition or things that they would do on, you know, a regular Sunday morning, perhaps.
Why the Vivaldi Gloria?
It's beautiful, first of all.
I mean, that's a great start.
It's glorious, but it's also accessible, right? So these church choirs, they're not all like cathedral choirs, right? So they're not all the top bar. The movements are only for four parts, like SATB, and there's minimal sort of forces needed to put on like an orchestral version of the work. And so, yeah, it's been Another part of it is that we have programmed each movement throughout the year, each choir has. So that way, by the end of the year, hopefully each choir has learned the whole work just by doing it in church every week. So that was also helpful a lot.
And it's a text that, you know, we all say week in and week out, and we all sing, and that we've sung, most of us have sung settings. And I know I speak for St. John's Cathedral Choir. Most of our chorus members have done this work at some point. It's an accessible work for college singers. I directed this at Gonzaga when I was there. And I know Logan has sung it. I've sung it when I was in college. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it sort of is one of those works that is a great first, like, hey, let's just see how this goes. Again, text that is accessible, but also enough solo work to highlight some of our singers, our local singers that maybe wouldn't have a chance to, you know, be highlighted or do a performance as a guest soloist, you know, let's say with the Spokane Symphony, for example, but you know, in a sort of lesser realm, can shine in their own way up at St. John's. So in this combined arrangement.
How independent were the decisions on what the rep was going to be? Because you have this main piece, certainly, but then you also have these side pieces for the individual ensembles. Was that a global vision, or was it kind of bring what you're interested in?
Totally that. It was more like, it was more like, you've got 12 to 15 minutes, do what you want.
Do whatever you want.
Whatever you want. So, you know, it's sort of left up to the directors to say, okay, hey, you know, our group really shines. And I'll speak to how we chose our pieces. And so we're super excited. At St. John's Cathedral, of course, mired in the Anglican tradition, you're going to expect things, for example, by Ray Vaughan Williams, which we are doing, John Gardner, Herbert Howells. We actually had I sent out a poll to the choir, and I had 8 or 10 different songs, and I said, "Okay, take a vote," because there are so many pieces that represent the Anglican tradition. And so Rutter was in there, and Charles Villiers Stanford was in there. But we whittled it down to just the 4 pieces that we're doing. So I would imagine, I don't know how you chose your pieces for your group, but I would imagine that Derek Parker, who is the director at First Presbyterian Church, perhaps did a similar thing. You know, this is going to represent, you know, the things that we sing on a weekly basis, perhaps on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, very similar. I basically, the pieces we're singing are pieces that represent the choir well. That we have done recently, so it's not a lot of work to put them back together, and that I think make a good set. So for me as a choir director, programming is the number one thing. So I feel confident that our set is going to be a good showing of the choir.
And I think it's important to note, you know, I don't know that many, unless you do sing in a church choir, you know, in the collegiate world, you are working a quarter or a semester on several works or a larger work. And then, you know, you've got all of that time, you know, so 10 to 15 weeks, and then you have a performance at the end. The church choir rigmarole, if you will, is, you know, weekly sometimes presentations of different pieces. So, you know, you get to perform, and I hate to use the word perform, of course, we, you know, present this music in worship, and it's to enhance the worship experience, of course. But, you know, it is a performance of sorts. And, you know, as we're presenting that, we just get to sing it once, and, you know, we've done all of this work, and we get to just do it the one time. And so I think it's really exciting for singers that, again, remember, you know, part of our group, all of our groups are going to be volunteers, people that just, you know, would like to sing and are happy to be there. And of course, then you've got a handful of people that, you know, this is what they've studied and went to school for, or are retired and used to be directors themselves and you know, performers themselves. So you get a wide range, I think, of experience and capabilities. And so how do you, as a programmer, as a director, how do you balance the gifts that you have to really showcase the music program that you have without without scaring your singers. You know, if you do something too hard, you know, that they can't access or something, you know, so obviously you can spend time on it. But there are just things that, you know, a volunteer singer is, you know, probably not going to be able to access in, you know, let's say 4 weeks of rehearsal and then a performance or, you know, a singing of it on a Sunday morning. So I think it's tricky. You know, you think about if you come, which I hope you do, just keep in mind that, you know, probably half of the people that are on the stage, you know, have a baseline understanding of reading music, and you know, they're not all music professors or retired music teachers. So I think our first rehearsal was phenomenal, and I was just thrilled. We have a huge group. The numbers on the stage, we had to expand our riser count, which was a great problem to have, and just everybody was so excited to be there. And you know, Logan mentioned wanting to do this and pull this together, and I have been sort of casting the net, so to speak, out for something like this for a few years, and I think we finally figured out the right balance or the right piece or the right team to make it happen. So we are beyond thrilled that it's happening, and I'll just sort of float this out there. It is something that I would love to make an annual thing and invite, you know, more choirs. What a wonderful thing to have everybody together, you know, Spokane area wide, just singing for one great cause and this glorious music in, and I'm going to brag a little bit, a beautiful space like the Cathedral of St. John the Evangelist. So we're excited.
Well, let's talk space for a second.
Yeah.
Because imagine that, I mean, I'm very familiar with St. John's, but for a listener who isn't, what does St. John's bring to a choral piece? It's a bit of a leading question. But.
Sure, it is. It is. You know, we just actually had an event there last night. And so folks that have not walked into the sanctuary at St. John's Cathedral, I think of the first time I climbed out of the subway in New York City, and my eyeballs just, I stopped, and my eyes just went up and up and up and up. I could not believe the magnitude of New York City. Now it's, you know, old hat. But St. John's, if you haven't been in that space, it is absolutely glorious. And you do walk in and your eyes go up. It is not what you expect. Even from the outside, you know it's going to be big. The stonework all hand-carved, the woodwork all hand-carved. So not only the craftsmanship that you can see sort of low to the ground, but also the sheer size of it. And then acoustically, I mean, that is what that space is designed for, is to be, to amplify spoken and sung word. And it does that very well. It is a huge space, and we're filling it.
And speaking of this larger piece, it is not just these choirs, but there's also an instrumental aspect. Can you speak to the musicians that you have?
Yeah, sure. So we have a very chamber orchestra, but still all the parts are covered. We've got, you know, the string quartet, the two violins, a viola and cello, and trumpet and oboe and of course, organ as well, the St. John's organ as well. So we have,
that chamber orchestra. And some really fantastic local players that I want to give a shout out to. Cedric Bidwell Williams will be playing organ. William Berry, who has visited in this very room with me for clarion brass, he will be playing trumpet. Sharon Kattage, local oboe player and fantastic teacher out at Eastern Washington University, Jeannie Bourgeois, who is a member of the Spokane Symphony, Rebecca Stamm, Nanette Erickson is on viola, and then Helen Byrne will be joining us playing the cello. So quite a lovely group of musicians in front of you, Logan, to direct. We haven't mentioned that actually Logan is going to be conducting this. So that's super exciting for me to step aside and let Logan wave his arms in front of us. I get to sing in the choir this time instead of just, you know, waving in front of you.
Well, that makes for a nice variation
mm-hmm.
for you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
And full circle to this piece, like it is for so many people from the sounds of it, whether that's to the text or the work itself, or even just to practicing the movements mm-hmm. earlier on in your seasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Again, you know, we sort of discussed this back last summer and nailed down the details in August, hoping that giving, you know, almost a full program year for these choirs, that it wouldn't be such a heavy lift for them to learn all of these movements. It's an 11-movement piece. Four of those are either solo or duet combinations. So seven, you know, movements that are quite technical, mm-hmm. And in Latin, which of course is generally pretty safe to do in a church setting, but wanting folks to have time and not be panicked, so that it would be an easy thing to sort of streamline into their regular worship. I think we have used every single movement.
Oh, yeah. We've been singing the Gloria in September.
Yes, yeah, we started. Yeah, I think we programmed it on the same day, actually. So it's been really nice to sort of make that that balance and that work happen. And I think, again, you know, people are super excited about it. And as part of the St. John's Music Series up at St. John's Cathedral, which is sort of not a side project as much as a part of the music ministry outreach. And one of the things that my goal and mission with that is really just allowing folks that maybe would not attend a church service at St. John's is to come for a concert. And music has always been something that the cathedral of St. John has been focused on, and of course we've spoken to what a beautiful place it is, the Gothic architecture and the acoustics. So we've highlighted several of our own groups, especially during COVID, but then highlighting local artists and some traveling artists as we go. So just about every month we have a special offering as part of the St. John's Music Series. So at currently it is not a ticketed series. We do ask humbly for a small $10 donation, which I think one might argue would be a pittance to pay for what you're going to hear this Sunday. So just to offset the cost of, you know, purchasing music and paying for the instrumentalists and the soloists, and just, you know, even providing background support with the administrative side of things. So for $10, come and hear just some fabulous, fabulous music up at the Cathedral of St. John the Evangelist this Sunday, 3 p.m. And the address for St. John's, if you are not familiar, is 127 East 12th Avenue, just right behind all the hospitals up there on the South Hill. You can't miss the space. Big Gothic architecture that you can see pretty much from anywhere in Spokane.
Very true, mm-hmm. yes. A prominent place on the hill.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to thank you both so much for joining me. I've been here with Dr. Andrea Olson and Logan Chevalier. Good luck with the concert. Sounds like it's going to be great.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.